that sessions are lasting 45 minutes and still want to do some demos, still want to do some coding, still want to see some failures. So it's going to be a very, very packed session, I guess. For anybody who is here who thinks that I'm going to show the latest and greatest cool gadgets because this is an IoT presentation, I'm so sorry to tell you, you're completely in the wrong room there because there are no gadgets here. I'm going to talk about the client side of the Internet of Things and Microsoft operating systems today. So I'm going to talk about an operating system called Windows 10 IoT Core and about an operating system called Windows 10 IoT Enterprise. And they are formerly known as embedded operating systems. My name is Maarten Struijs. I'm working as an account technology strategist for Microsoft in a worldwide role, well, basically in an EMEA role. And I'm, you know, like traveling, doing pre-sales on Internet of Things type of solutions, especially in the German market these days, Industry 4.0, very, very secure devices that needs to be connected to the Internet and stuff like that. And if you read newspapers, and last week there was a lot of things going on again about, you know, like security and Internet of Things, because there are a couple of scary things, actually, if you think about devices being connected to the Internet. And funny enough, I was always thinking that the most scary thing for me is like, hey, if I, you know, like publish my credit card data and somebody steals my credit card information, that will be a really bad situation. But to be honest, it's not that bad if my credit card details are stolen, because the bank immediately figures it out, they give me a phone call, they block the card, and, you know, like, I'm not even losing money probably with that. But now think about devices communicating to each other, and somebody has the capability of stealing my medical data. Now that's getting scary, because how would I know that my medical data has been stolen? And on top of that, what are the consequences of that? If somebody malfunctions, you know, like tamps with my medical data, that would be a problem. I mean, you know, like it could be a life-threatening situation if somebody changed my medical records. Or think about insurance companies who get hold of that medical data. That's kind of a scary thing. And for those things, it's for you know, like, vitally important that security is, you know, like the first thing you should think about if we talk about the Internet of Things. So I'm going to talk a little bit about security. I'm going to talk about a little bit, and I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, like, our operating systems that are specifically designed for an IoT world. They are Windows 10 versions of the operating system, but they have something more specific about them. And if you look what our journey was in Microsoft, we came from a long way, you know, like maybe, you know, like folks might know our embedded products being Windows XP Embedded, Windows Embedded Standard 7, etc., etc. All those were different versions of an operating system, and we kind of converged them to one single version of an operating system in Windows 10. So Windows 10 is actually, you know, like a version of Windows that shares a lot of functionality amongst different flavors of that particular version of the operating system. So I'm going to show you, for instance, how applications that are developed for Windows 10 IoT Core can run unmodified on Windows 10 IoT Enterprise and the other way around, which is a very, very cool story, actually, because if you think about it, it allows you also to scale from a smaller operating system up to a larger operating system without having to modify too much on your application. Then there's this other flavor of embedded operating systems that we used to have and still have, by the way, which is Windows Embedded Compact 7 and Windows Embedded Compact 2013. Those are hard real-time operating systems, so they have deterministic behavior. So in other words, they're not only, you know, like making sure that whatever you request from the operating system is executed correctly, but it's also executed correctly in time. Windows 10 is not a hard real-time operating system. It has you know, like, it has different priorities, so you could look at it as a soft real-time operating system. And that's totally okay for most of the Internet of Things type of appliances. If, for instance, I'm going to build a weather station and I'm going to make use of a temperature sensor, and that temperature sensor, you know, like, is going to be read through a one-wire protocol, a serial protocol or something, then timing is of vital importance. But if I miss one sample, it's not that, you know, like it's not kind of a problem. I mean, I might be less accurate in my temperature reading because I just missed one sample, but that's kind of okay. But if I'm, you know, like automating my car, and if I, you know, like control the brakes of my car with an operating system, then it better be a hard real-time operating system, because you don't want the operating system doing something else when it's time to, you know, like control the brakes or something. So Windows 10 is perfect for soft real-time capabilities and soft real-time appliances. If you need hard real-time, then you should take a look at Windows Embedded Compact 2013. All these operating systems, by the way, all can make use of Win32 APIs, which also means that, you know, like there is, at least on source code level, a rich degree of compatibility between applications running on those different versions of the operating system. Now, today I'm going to talk about IoT, the Internet of Things. And if you read market data, especially, what you will see is that, you know, like the Internet of Things, it's like the buzzword of the moment right now. And if you look at Gartner, IDC, and all those, you know, like institutes, they're all predicting that by the year 2020, you know, we have billions and billions and billions of devices. And the interesting thing is that are all connected. And the interesting thing is, if tomorrow you read another report, probably they're saying that, you know, like by 2020, things have doubled from what they predicted yesterday. So, you know, like this is growing like crazy, actually. And there's an enormous range of devices that have nothing to do with PCs, but still run an operating system. So what I'm showing here is, you know, like, let's say a price of a device, and a device could be a medical device like a CT scanner that you see there all the way in the upright corner, to a very small, maybe a sensor or a microphone, a little audio device or something. But all these devices have in common that they will be connected to the internet and that they will communicate and share data to each other. And if you look at the Microsoft story today, our Windows 10 story, then we have an operating system for all these different flavors and different types of devices. So our smallest operating system is Windows 10 IoT Core. And Windows 10 IoT Core is a pretty interesting operating system. It makes use of the same kernel functionality as the larger Windows 10 IoT operating systems. So because of that fact, it can also run exactly the same applications that are running on larger systems, if those applications have been developed using the Universal Windows platform model. The cool part is that if you look at Windows 10 IoT Core, it's a version of the operating system that does not really look like, you know, like Windows at all. So here I have a small device being a Raspberry Pi. And what you see here is kind of a start page. It doesn't look like a window. The screen is entirely filled. And this is a default application that just is shown when this Raspberry Pi boots up. And it tells us some vital information that, hey, it's connected to the internet. It has a version of the operating system. It's a Windows 10 operating system. But this operating system is not an enterprise or a pro or a consumer version of the operating system. This operating system that runs on this device is Windows 10 IoT Core. The other interesting thing about it is that this Raspberry Pi, it's like a $35 piece of hardware, and the processor that it's running on, the operating system, is actually an ARM processor. And if you look at Windows operating systems, except for Windows Embedded Compact, but all the other Windows operating systems usually are running, you know, like on x86 or on AMD processors. So with Windows 10 and with Windows 10 IoT Core, we have the possibility to run also on non-Intel hardware. The same is true for that middle layer of the operating system, being Windows 10 IoT Mobile. Let me switch back to my slide deck here. Being Windows 10 IoT Mobile, because Windows 10 IoT Mobile also has the possibility to run on other processors than just x86 or x64. Windows 10 IoT Core is the smallest version of the operating system. It's a free version of the operating system. So the actual license costs are $0. Windows 10 IoT Mobile is an operating system that's targeted to mobile devices. It's not necessarily only used for phone devices. It could also be a small handheld device. So the big difference between IoT Core and IoT Mobile, for instance, are that for Windows 10 IoT Mobile, you have rich speech capabilities. So you can talk to the device can listen to you, the device can speak back to you. Things that make sense for a phone type or a mobile type of device. And Windows 10 IoT Enterprise is the large version, it's just the same version as your regular Windows 10 Enterprise. The only difference is in the way we are servicing that operating system. That's going to be slightly different, and I'm going to talk about that a little later in presentation. So, with a common kernel being called one core that is shared amongst all these different versions of Windows 10 as an operating system, there's one big advantage. We can run applications, or we can develop applications that run on all these different flavors of the operating system. Now, the only thing you have to think about is that, hey, if your footprint is different, you know, like if you're running on a tablet or you're running on a large screen or if you're running on a tiny little device like a Raspberry Pi or something, you probably need to do something on your user interface. So you need to make sure that your application scales to always have a great look and feel on the device you're running on. So typically, and that's you know, like kind of a change in the behavior of an application developer, what you need to do is figure out, like, hey, on which system am I running? What are the, you know, like, what is the real estate on which I can run? What are the capabilities of the device that I'm running on? And according to that, I'm going to add more or less functionality, or I'm going to open up more or less functionality inside my application. So it's a little bit more work for you to do, actually, to make sure that you're, you know, like utilizing all capabilities of all different types of devices, but at the same time, you only have to develop that application once because it's a universal Windows application. And I think it's time to, you know, like show this a little bit in action. So I'm going to show you, you know, like an application that I'm going to develop from scratch, and we're going to deploy it on a number of different operating systems. So for that, let me just change to my development machine, which should be here somewhere. I'm going to start Visual Studio. I'm using Visual Studio 2015. And by the way, for this demo, I'm just using the free version, the Community Edition. And I'm running in a virtual machine, so hopefully, you know, like it's going to be performant enough. This was part of the preparation that I still needed to do before actually starting my presentation. But I had this great idea today to come by train to Amsterdam. And I'm living in Alphen aan den Rijn, which by car is, you know, like 20 minutes away or something if you drive really, really slow. It took me 2 hours to go by train. The reason was I was stuck at Schiphol Airport because there was something with the power supply of all trains or something. And in an Internet of Things world, they just informed us, like, we don't have a clue when the next train is going, which I thought, like, you know, like, is this 2016? Are we talking about Internet of Things and stuff like that? So I, you know, like, was a little bit in a hurry and preparing because I was here just in time, actually. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start a new project. And that new project is going to be a C-sharp Windows application, and it's going to be a blank universal application. And what you can immediately see is that, hey, I'm getting a question, because we, since Windows 10, we don't have different releases, different version numbers of Windows. So Windows 10 is kind of the last version of Windows. However, we still do release, you know, like new versions of that operating system. So what you will see is that, hey, I can target which SDK, I can specify which SDK I'm going to target. And default right now, what you will see is that I can target the Anniversary Edition, which is the latest version available of Windows 10 right now. But my application will also run unmodified on a previous version of Windows 10 as an operating system. I could just change here, depending on the SDKs that I have, on which version I will allow my application to be running. Now I'm going to create that application. And the application is not going to be anything fancy, actually. It's going to be a very, very simple application because, you know, like we don't have too much time to, and it doesn't make sense to see me typing anyway. Let me just increase the font a little bit so you might even see it a little bit better. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a little user interface. I'm going to do that in my main page.xaml here. So I have one single page with a user interface in it. And that user interface, let me just add a code snippet here. And what I just defined is a user interface with one button and one text block. And if I click the button, I'm going to write some text in the text block. That's the idea. So what I need to do is provide actually a click event handler. And I'm letting that click event handler being automatically generated by Visual Studio for me. And now if I go to my code file, you will see a event handler here. And what I'm going to do here is in my text box, its text property, I'm going to just say hello, I am clicked. Or better, I clicked a button. There we go. This is all my functionality. Very, very simple application. And to test my application, I'm just going to deploy it right now to my local machine. And I'm going to use 32 bits version of this application. I'm going to deploy it to an x86. And what will happen after compilation is that you will see the application running inside, you know, like my development machine, basically. So this is my application. Again, it's nothing fancy. It's not a beautiful application. It's not necessary, but I have a click button. I have a button. I can click it, and I see there that, hey, hello, I clicked on a button. That's my functionality for now. Now, since I've thoroughly tested this application, I also want to make sure that I can deploy this application to other machines. In order to do that, what I can do is I actually can go to this store entry under the project menu, and what I can do right now is create an app package. And an app package is nothing more than an installable version of this particular application. For now, I'm going to create an app package for a later demonstration. I'm not going to upload automatically to the Windows Store, so you cannot, you know, like buy or download this application from the Windows Store right now. I'm just building this application for myself right now as an app package. And I'm going to make use of still of the debug version. The reason for that is that, you know, like I'm not done testing. I want to have a debug version that I can also run on a different target later on. So I'm quickly going to create this. In order to create that app package, it's going to take a little bit of time. It's going to recompile it. And what you saw already, I should have pointed that out actually, is that I have different target versions inside that application package. So I'm targeting x86, x64, and ARM processors. So basically, if I create an app package, I'm creating three different installable versions of my application. And I could have used, you know, like I could have switched a number of them off if I wanted to. So this is about done. And then the next thing I want to do is I now have an app package and I can install that app package, you know, like separately on another machine. And we're going to do that later. The other thing I want to do is I want to also make sure that this particular application runs on a Raspberry Pi or on a Windows IoT Core machine. So that's the next thing I want to show. My application package has been created, so I can use that later on. But what I now want to do is deploy to another machine, and this time I'm going to deploy to a remote machine. And what you will see here is that Visual Studio recognizes that on the network that I'm having my development machine on, there's another device on there, and that's called an IoT Core device running the Windows 10 IoT Core operating system. It's a virtual machine, and I'm just going to select that device as my target device. So now I'm going to run on a remote machine. I'm going to deploy, and probably what you will see now is that my deploying the application will fail. So first it started to build the application, or it checked if it needed to be rebuilt. And what it's now going to do is through the network, the application is going to be downloaded to a target machine, and it's going to be installed on that target machine, and it will run in that target machine, but the debugger is still on my development machine, so I'm actually going to do some remote debugging. And what you will see is that, hey, there's a deployment error, which is kind of weird, you could say, so I don't want to continue. Well, the reason for that is a very simple reason. If I take a look at my operating system that I want to use as a target right now, that's this particular target. It's a virtual machine, but I installed inside this virtual machine a 64-bit version of the operating system. And for Windows 10 IoT Core, right now inside this virtual machine, in a 64-bit operating system, I don't have support, debugging support for 32-bit applications. So I really need to make sure that I address the target processor that that I want to run this application on. So that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to go back to that development machine, I hope. Well, eventually I will. And instead of choosing an x86, I'm going to choose for an x64. I'm going to stay on that same remote machine. So I'm going to go to my remote machine again. I'm going to deploy, and I'm going to set a breakpoint here in this click event handler. And we're just waiting for the application to be deployed, which should be almost the case, hopefully. It's always, there we go, deploy succeeded. So now I'm going to change again to my target machine. And what you now see on that target machine is that, hey, I have this application running. If I click on that Click Me button, so this is a different operating system. This is a Windows 10 IoT Core operating system. If I click on this button, you don't see that text appearing there. Well, the reason for that is that on my development machine, I will now see that Visual Studio just hit a breakpoint. And I can actually debug on my target right now. So I can, you know, like inspect variables that are on my target, and I can inspect them from my development machine. So if I just continue running right now and then switch back to that IoT core box, then what you will see is that, hey, hello, I clicked on a button. Also, the application scaled accordingly to the user interface that it's running on right now. So with that, what we just saw is that, hey, a universal Windows application can run on different flavors, on different versions of Windows, even in, running on different types of processors. So what I want to do now is quickly discuss, you know, like the different IoT versions of Windows 10 that are available and their typical use scenario. So what we have available is Windows 10 IoT Enterprise. It's a full version of Windows 10 Enterprise, and as a matter of fact, this version is identical, completely identical. It are the same bits as Windows 10 Enterprise. So Windows 10 IoT Enterprise is Windows 10 Enterprise. The only difference is that it has a longer availability for a particular version. Windows 10 IoT Enterprise allows you to run Win32 applications, classic applications, also .NET applications, but also modern applications, universal Windows platform applications. So all those different applications will run on Windows 10 IoT Enterprise. And security is a very, very important thing for Windows 10 IoT Enterprise. So one of the things that I really want to mention are Device Guard and Credential Guard. So with Credential Guard, what you can do is make sure that your operating system is protected against, you know, like users that are not supposed to log on to that operating system. Credential Guard makes sure that it locks down the operating system for unauthorized users, and it does that in combination with, for instance, biometrics, where you can use fingerprint or a camera with an iris scan detection to actually log on to your system. Device Guard is a piece of technology that allows you to whitelist applications, so only applications that are allowed and are supposedly running or are supposed to run on that particular box will have the possibility to run on a particular box. What you also can do with an IoT version of the operating system, which is, you know, like basically the former embedded versions of the operating system, is I can entirely lock down that system. So what I can do is make sure that, hey, if a user logs on, I automatically start an application. If that application is terminated, I automatically restart that application again. I can filter out keyboard combinations. So for instance, a Ctrl-Alt-Delete, which typically, you know, like is used to reset a system or to log on to a system, I can filter those key combinations out so that I just switch on a system and it always runs one application. If I switch it off and switch it on again, it just boots automatically in that same application again. Windows 10 also has this thing called secure boot. So what we're doing is we're actually measuring the time from starting up to booting the operating system. And if that changes or if something in between happens, you know, like it's taking all of a sudden longer to actually boot the operating system, you will be warned and we refuse to boot the operating system. So secure boot makes sure that in that moment of starting a computer to the operating system being up and running, that's a very vulnerable moment. Things can happen there. By timing that and by making sure that only drivers and pieces of functionality that are supposed to load will be loaded, you can guarantee that there's no you know, like malware injected in your operating system. We also have a possibility of hibernate once, resume many times. Hibernating once means that, hey, if I have my system running and I put it in hibernating, kind of a sleep mode, then it can be started up extremely fast the next time. That's also fully supported in Windows 10 IoT Enterprise. So what I want to show is one of those lockdown features. And they're, you know, like they're kind of uncool to look at, most of them. Because what they are just doing is locking down an entire operating system. And by the way, if you make a mistake there, you can lock down really entirely the operating system, also from an administrator. So you have to be careful there. Most of these settings to lock down the system are actually being done through policies. And I'm not going to do that right now because it's just boring to watch. So what I instead want to do is show you how a particular user, if I log on as a particular user, I'm automatically going to boot into an application. So for that, I need to prepare a few things again. And I just build, you know, like in the previous demo, we were just building an application, and I created an application package for that. So that's what I'm going to make use of right now. If I am on the right box, that is. Here we go. So my application was beautifully called, what's the name of it? Let's see. Get rid of that here. And let me go to my properties, making sure what my application is. It's called App 1. Okay, wonderful. So let's just see where App 1 lives. It's probably in here. Here's App 1. And App 1 has an application package. What I'm going to do is I'm going to copy this application package to another drive. I'm just going to copy it here. There we go. And inside that application package, what you will see is that App 1 has a debug version. And there's also a PowerShell script in there. Now I'm going to install this application on another operating system. And let me just switch to that operating system right now. It's going to be an It's going to be on a Windows 10 IoT Enterprise version of the operating system. And what you will see, this is Windows 10 IoT Enterprise. This looks different from my development machine, actually. Because if you look here on my start menu, you don't see any apps. You see some Windows utilities like File Explorer and some other things, but you don't see installed apps. For instance, if I would look here for the mail app is not found. So Windows 10 IoT Enterprise is a version specifically for IoT purposes where you don't have modern apps already installed as part of the operating system. Now I'm going to use Explorer to install an application, but I want to do that on a particular user, so I'm going to log off of this particular user, and I'm going to make use of a different user, and that user is going to be assigned access. Well, hopefully. Something's going wrong here. I already locked it down so well. Let's see. I should be able to switch a user, shouldn't I? There we go. That's better. I want to sign in there. Okay. It allows me to. This demo was rehearsed time and again, and it should just, I mean, it's a demo of logging onto a system. That's kind of an interesting demo, isn't it? And now, of course, I'm getting tired, so what are we going to do here? Welcome. Ah, okay. This has nothing, this is, you know, this demo is not a demo of the performance of Windows 10 IoT Enterprise, because Windows 10 IoT Enterprise is a very fast performing operating system. But I'm running too many virtual machines on this box right now, and I'm afraid that's the reason why this is not performing that great. Okay, I'm going to go to my File Explorer. And I'm going to go to exactly that same location where I installed, or where I copied that app package to. And I'm going to install that app package under this user right now. So I'm going to run with PowerShell a script, and that script is responsible for installing that application in this on this operating system. I'm going to say yes there, I'm going to install it. It found an app package bundle. So now it's installing a number of certificates. Those certificates are needed in order to allow the application to execute, and then it's going to install the application itself as well. Since I'm an other user, I also need permission to have this done. Yes, I want to continue. And right now, hopefully, the application will be installed. I see my system being very, very busy, so something is still happening at least. All right, so I have certificates installed. Now the application itself is going to be installed, and there we are. Application is done. And so now I should have an application here called App 1. Well, I should have had that at least. There it is. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to make use of this App 1 to automatically boot the operating system and boot immediately into that application. Let me see if I can execute it first. App 1, cool, I don't still see, results are still not complete. Okay, I'm going to forget about this. I'm going to just change users here and automatically boot into that application later on. So I'm going to log off here. And the next step is to log on as myself again. And the next step, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and change that original user that I just showed you. And what we're going to do with it is the following. I'm going to go to this assigned access. I'm going to change its account type to become a local user here. So instead of an administrator, I'm going to make it a standard user. And the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to set up assigned access for that particular user. So I'm going to choose an account, the account being assigned access. And now I'm going to choose an application that will be executed when automatically, when that user logs on, then I will be able to automatically start this application. So that's going to be that application, app one. And with that, I'm done. What I'm now going to do is, again, log off from this particular user. There we go. I'm going to log on as assigned access. Gives me the little welcome. And what you immediately see is that, hey, now automatically that application is booted. There's nothing in between. You saw the application booting, and something else remarkable is going on. Inside that application, you don't see any window notification anymore. So I cannot minimize this application. I cannot maximize it. I cannot close it. All that stuff is being removed because I'm making use of assigned access right now. So I'm only having this only this one application running. It's fully functional, but I cannot terminate this application. If I log off and log on again to this system under that same user account, I will again just automatically boot that application. And that's a scenario in an IoT type of world. If you think about, for instance, digital signs or things like at Schiphol Airport, those devices typically can benefit from something like assigned access. What you too often see at airports is that, hey, you see that a digital sign shows something of a Windows operating system. Either a command prompt, or it might even show a blue screen or something. By making use of this technology and an IoT version of the operating system, that can all be prevented, and you can actually, you know, like always just boot in the operating in a application. If this application would for some reason crash, it would automatically be restarted again. So let's go back to the slide deck real quick. How am I doing for time? Oh, we're not doing great for time, so I need to speed up a little bit. Windows 10 IoT Mobile is an optimized version of Windows 10, specifically for mobile devices. It typically is used for a single line of business application. So you have a small screen. On that small screen, you have a filled universal Windows platform application, and you're using one application at a time. You can change applications, but you don't have a windowing idea inside application. It also has enterprise-grade security, so it has the same security features as Windows 10 IoT Enterprise has. It also has things like BitLocker, which makes a lot of sense for a mobile device. If I lose my device, at least the data on it is encrypted if I have enabled BitLocker on it. It also has advanced speech capabilities, so it can locally detect, understand your voice through some grammar. This is kind of limited, but you also have, you know, like the use of Cortana, and you have the use of Lewis, which allows you, if your network connected, to have rich conversations with your device, actually. And then finally, the small flavor of Windows 10 is Windows 10 IoT Core. It's a small version of the operating system. It has a small footprint, and it can run on headless systems as well, so it's not necessary to have a user interface. You can just run a number of services inside the operating system on a device, and that device just measures temperature or controls a security camera or stuff like that. It also has enterprise-grade security, so it has the same security, because security in Windows 10 is built in the common core that that is shared amongst all versions of Windows 10 operating systems. So what I want to show is a little bit more of Windows 10 IoT Core. So we go back to that operating system, which is still running over here somewhere. And what you will see right now is that, hey, this is not too excited, actually. I have an application. That application shows a little graphic, a little image of an IoT Core board, and not much more. But what I can also do is actually go to this particular operating system through a web interface. So in that IoT Core version of the operating system, there's a little web server running. And what I'm now going to do is I'm going to go to that little web server, if I remember the name of that particular operating system. Let's see, IoT Core VM. And it's listening to port 8080. And what you now will see is that, hey, I'm asked for some username. And password combination. And now I get information of my device. So this is actually, this web server is running on that Windows 10 IoT Core machine. I'm looking in the device, and I can see what kind of applications are available in this version of the operating system. And what you see is that, hey, I have an App1 there. App1 is the application that I just built, and I can start it remotely from here, from this web server. So when starting this application, it's now running. So if I switch to that IoT Core machine, you will now see again that the application is running here. So I have a little bit more control over what's going on in my device through this web page. I can stop the application again. So I just stopped it. Or did I? Yes. And if we look now at that thing, then you see that same start or that same default application running again. I can run completely different applications that I already installed there. What I also can do is I can configure a trusted platform module or TPM chip. With that, I can securely connect and safely connect, for instance, to Azure, to the cloud, without having to give away credentials. A TPM chip is some sort of a small microprocessor, and it has the possibility of generating hash codes that are, you know, like understood by corresponding server pieces running in the cloud. And if I change that, for instance, that hash code every hour or something, I have completely anonymous access ways of accessing a cloud server that I'm only supposed to access with this particular device. Other things I can do is I can, you know, like do a little bit of debugging on board of the device. I can take a look at kernel dumps. I have a performance tracker here, so I can see if there's applications running, what's going on as far as performance is concerned. So there's many different things that you can do with Windows 10 IoT Core. Just, you know, like if you take a look at that particular device by just going to this particular web server and making sure that you take a look at all these different menu entries here. Also, for headless devices, like this device right now, if I would not have connected it to a VGA connector, what I still could do is make use of a remote application to display the user interface. So I have a remote desktop possibility inside Windows 10 IoT Core. And I can start that, enable that from this same website here. So let me go back to the deck real quick again. Because there's one thing that I want to cover, and we have exactly 3 minutes for that, so that should be possible. And that is one of the things that you know, like, leads to confusion sometimes. So if you look at our story, at Microsoft's story today, for consumers, what we, you know, like our story is that, hey, you know, like we have released Windows 10 and we are going to make sure that everybody stays up to date with the latest and greatest bits of Windows 10. So each time we release a little bit of new functionality, that functionality will first be properly tested and then it will be deployed on all Windows client machines. Now, in an industrial environment, that's something you don't want to have happening. Let's say that I'm, you know, like automating a nuclear plant or something. What you don't want to have happening is that Microsoft, we say like, hey, we think it's a great idea to give your nuclear plant a little bit of extra functionality. You'd rather have that, you know, like completely locked down, actually. So what is great for consumers is not great for the industry. That's what I'm trying to say here. And therefore, with Windows 10 IoT operating systems, we have long life cycle support. And how that works is as follows, basically. If you look on the consumer side, Windows is really, you know, like treated as a service right now. If we have new functionality, we love to share it with everybody instead of waiting for 3 years for another release or something. For software developers, that's great news, actually, because software developers in that way know that they always have the latest and greatest bits available that they can make use of in the operating system. So they can make use of the latest features inside their applications as well. For industrial purpose, you want to have more control. So on the user side, we have agility. We want to have things pushed out as fast as possible to end users. For industrial use, we want to have, you know, like a stable situation where you don't want to, you know, like continuously have new versions. And there's friction between those two because agility and control don't like each other too much. Therefore, one of the reasons when I showed you Windows 10 IoT Enterprise, I said, like, hey, there's no mail application, there's no Edge browser, there are no modern applications installed. The reason for that is that those applications change frequently, and that's typically what you don't want to do in an industrial environment. So how do we release things? Well, first, it starts inside Microsoft. We have engineering builds, daily builds, and if you're in the engineering team, then probably you are running those daily builds on your laptop. Then, internally, we also have tens of thousands of people who are dog feeding the Windows 10 operating system. So we are running, you know, like later versions of the Windows 10 operating system. Then we have an insider program. That insider program is very successful. Many people have actually signed up for that, I'm sure in this room as well. And insiders get the chance to make use of bits before they are released. And then once, you know, like we have a stable situation, we're going to release something called the current branch. That's going to be rolled out to every consumer user. And then, once that current branch is followed by the next current branch, then we will have a current branch for business. This is still the same version of the operating system. And this same version of the operating system for consumers is probably, you know, like being changed every 4 months. For enterprise businesses, they can stay on that same version of the operating system for approximately a year. That allows them to test that their enterprise applications will function correctly with a new version of the operating system. And that's kind of, you know, like this graphic kind of shows that. So consumers continuously go to a next version of an operating system. Businesses can stay for a year on a particular version of Windows 10 until they need to move. For nuclear plants, that is still not good enough. So what we have for nuclear plants is the following. Something called a long-term service branch, and this is where Windows 10 IoT Enterprise differs from any other flavor of Windows 10, is that this version of Windows 10 will be maintained and supported by Microsoft for up to 10 years, this same version. And every 2 to 3 years, we will release a new version of an LTSB. It also means that, hey, you will get security updates. You won't get feature updates because you don't want to have feature updates. You just want to have security updates there. So that's one of the big differences between Windows 10 IoT Core, Windows 10 IoT Enterprise and Windows 10 other versions of the operating system. I don't have time, unfortunately, to show the tools to build an operating system itself. That's not that bad, actually, because, you know, like the only thing I could have shown there is like, you know, like manipulating a number of configuration files. If you are interested in building a Windows 10 IoT core version of the operating system yourself, there's excellent documentation, actually, on MSDN available. If you are really interested and want to have an answer today on how to build your own version of the operating system, I will be hanging out here the rest of the day. I have another talk in an hour or so, but I definitely make sure to be out of the room ready to answer your questions because the organization asked us, you know, like to leave the room immediately after the talk to make sure that the other presenters have time to set up their systems. I hope that at least, you know, like the most important takeaway from this session is that IoT is not just about, you know, like all kinds of cool gadgets. It's also about very serious enterprise-ready operating systems. What I showed you today is that, hey, Windows 10 has core functionality that is shared amongst all different versions of Windows 10. Universal Windows Platform applications will run on all those different versions of the operating system. What you need to do, though, is adapt your application to a particular version of the operating system. We do that for a big part automatically by scaling user interfaces, but you can control that a little better yourself if you want to. The other thing that I did not mention, but that's very important as well, is because of the fact that we share kernel functionality, is that we also share device drivers among those different versions of the operating system. So Windows 10 IoT Core is an embedded small version of the operating system, but it uses the same device drivers as Windows 10 IoT Enterprise. That's a big difference from Windows CE in the past that has had its own driver model. And this is a real advantage right now. So if there is a device driver for Windows, it will also be available for Windows 10 IoT Core. And what I showed you is the servicing branches of Windows 10. Consumers always stay on the latest version of Windows 10. Businesses have a year time to test their enterprise applications in order to make sure that new functionality doesn't break their applications. And for industrial use, we have support for 10 years where we only supply security updates and no feature updates. I hope that you have a great rest of Tech Days. Thank you very much for being here and for your attention. And any questions, I'll take outside there.